The Man-Eater by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Prologue. A native woman working in the little cultivated patch just outside the palisade which surrounded the mission was the first to see them. Her scream penetrated to the living room of the little thatched bungalow, where the Reverend Sagamon Morton sat before a table, an open tin box before him and a sheaf of preferred stock certificates in his hand. The Reverend Morton had heard such screams before. Sometimes they meant nothing. Again, they might mean the presence of an inquisitive and savage jungle visitor of the Order of Carnivora. But the one thing always uppermost in his mind, the one great abiding terror of their lives there in the midst of the savage African jungle, was now, as always, the first and natural explanation of the woman's screams to leap to his mind. The Wakandans have come at last. The missionary leapt to his feet, thrust the papers into a long manila envelope, placed them in the tin box, and closed the cover as he hastened across the room to the wide fireplace. Here he kneeled and removed the stone flag from the hearth, slipped the box quickly into the aperture revealed beneath, rose, snatched a rifle from its hook over the mantel, and rushed out into the compound. The whole thing had taken but a fraction of the time required to tell it. In another room of the bungalow, Mary Morton, the missionary's wife, and Ruth, his daughter, had heard the scream, and they, too, ran out into the compound. The Reverend Sangamon Morton found them there when he arrived, and calling to them to return to the bungalow, sped on toward the palisade gate, through which were now streaming the score of women and children who had been working in the garden. Some native men were also hastening toward the gate from their various duties about the mission, converted heathen armed with ancient Enfields. The woman who had first screamed, and whose shrill cry of terror had aroused the peaceful little community, now fell to her knees before the Reverend Morton. "Oh, save me, Massa," she cried. "Save me from the Wakandas! The Wakandas have came!" Morton brushed past her and hurried to the gate. He would have a look at the enemy first. The Reverend Sangamon Morton was not a man to be easily stampeded. He had answered to false alarms in the past, and though he never permitted the cry of wolf to find him unready for the inevitable time when it should prove a true cry, he was prone to skepticism until he should have the substantiating testimony of his own eyes. Now, as he passed through the gate, his first glance at the approaching enemy brought a sigh of relief to his lips. Coming out of the jungle were strange black men, it was true, warriors armed with spears and even guns. But with them marched two white men, and at sight of the pith helmets and the smoke from two briar pipes, a broad smile touched the lips of the Reverend Sagamon Morton. The smile expanded into a good-natured laugh as he advanced to welcome the strangers and explained to them the panic into which their unheralded appearance had thrown his little community. And so came Jefferson Scott Jr. and his boon companion, Robert Gordon, to the little American Methodist mission in the heart of the African jungle. And there, one of them, young Scott, found a wife in the missionary's daughter, Ruth.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?